High Point Baptist Church would like to welcome you to our sermon cast, where, as in all things, our mission is to glorify God and proclaim His Word, and we thank you for listening. The following sermon was recorded at High Point Baptist Church on the 16th of June 2013 and focuses on Scripture from Romans chapter 5 with preaching by our interim pastor, Professor Joe Schlegel of Baptist Bible College.
Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5. Okay, a little review. What did we learn about the first three chapters of Romans? Would you summarize that in a few words for me? Chapters 1, 2, and 3. All have sinned, all are condemned. It took us 3 weeks to figure that out, right? Paul really spent a lot of time there. Can't earn your way to heaven. It's not by works, is it? That's in those chapters as well. Chapter 3:21, but now, 2 weeks ago, but now, apart from works, we're saved by the grace of God. In chapter 3 and chapter 4, saved by the grace of God through faith in what God said. And for us, that's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified, having been justified by faith, something happens. We have peace with God. The verb, subject and verb, is we have peace. Therefore, we have peace because we have been justified by faith. This means to have been put in a right relationship with God. And by the way, it's a tense that it happens at a point in time. When all the things involved in your salvation, the people that witness to you, reading of the scriptures, whatever it's been, people's prayers, when it all comes together and you say, I get it. Jesus Christ on that cross took the penalty of my sin, separation from God, and paid it for me. When that happens, and you believe that in your head and heart, you are then declared righteous. You are justified by the grace of God through faith in the proper object, Jesus Christ. And that's what this means. We are put in a right relationship with God. We are declared or treated as righteous. Now, you have to understand, we practically are not righteous. We all will continue to do things, say things, think things that probably we should not. Hopefully a lot less than we did 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. But the bottom line is we're not perfect. We're not sinlessly perfect yet. That will happen when we get a new body. But in the eyes of God, you're righteous. You may not feel it. It's not about feelings. It's about objective truth. We'll talk about that as we get through this passage. You see, God views us through His Son. These are accounting terms. My sin, real as it was put on the ledger of Jesus Christ. He took it and He paid for it. And His righteousness was then put on my account and yours as well. And God views us through His Son and views you as declared righteous. My debt, the penalty of my debt is paid. I owe nothing. He paid for how many sins? Book of Hebrews. All sins. Forever sat down at the right hand of God. My sins are paid for. They're not all committed yet. That's the crazy thing. But they're all paid for. Every last one of them. And that's true for all of us who are in Christ. So we have been declared righteous. This word is used to secure justice for someone. It means to make pure. It's always an act of grace. It's never earned. It can't be earned. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. If I pay that, I'm separated from God for eternity. The act of grace is Christ paid it for me. My God, why have you separated yourself from me? I want you to look at just a couple of verses. Go back with me to Galatians, Romans, Corinthians, then Galatians chapter 2. Again, one of Paul's letters. And he's writing to a Jewish community in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. He's writing to a Jewish audience in this book. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Do you understand? I think almost without exception, every other religion in the world is trying to earn their way to heaven. The born-again believer in Jesus Christ is the only one who understands that I can't earn it. It's a gift given to the person who recognizes that Christ paid for our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. And when it comes together and you truly believe that in your head and your heart, not just that it could have happened, but that's very real, and you have, because the Word of God states it, you are declared righteous in the eyes of God. It's found in Acts 13. It's found, in fact, Romans 3:20, since we're right there. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, in God's sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law cannot save me. When I measure my life against the law, all I see is failures. Hey, there's 613 commandments. I kept half of them. Three-fourths of them. Fine, what about the others? You're done. Break one, you're done. One thought, one motive, done. It's not honoring to God. By the grace of God, we have peace with God. Justification, when you are declared righteous, and this is something that's extremely important, every other blessing in the Christian life comes at the same time. There's no progression of blessings that you're going to get in the future. A lot of Christians are running around saying, I need a second blessing. I want to ask them, what was wrong with the first one? Hello? What were you missing? Nothing. You're declared righteous. There's nothing you're lacking. Everything you need to live the Christian life, to understand, it's in the Word, and you have all of it. You have been declared righteous. We're trying to, I joke about this with some of my students from time to time. We're saved by grace. We try to earn sanctification. Can't do that either. We live the life by the grace of God the same way we're saved by the grace of God. That's it. The bottom. We have everything we need. We are declared righteous. There's nothing else coming. Notice what it says. We have peace with God. Now, I want you to notice verse 9. That's present tense. Verse 9. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. That's future. The person who's justified has peace with God. And at the judgment seat, no judgment. We're going to be okay. We'll get to that later. Right now we have peace with God. What does that mean? We have everything we need. All right? Now, peace with God. This is not referring to a feeling of peace. Well, I don't feel spiritual. Well, that's probably 90% of the time for some of us. It's not how you feel that matters. When I'm ill, when I'm in pain, when I have a cold, when I'm depressed, yeah, I'm still justified, right? Still declared righteous. It's not based on feelings. There's two ways this word is used in the New Testament. We are at peace with God, and in Philippians, we have the peace of God. They're different. This is objective truth for every believer. Right now, sitting where you are at peace with God. Every unsaved person out there, without exception, is an enemy at enmity with God. He's under God's, he or she is under God's wrath. There's no neutrality here. Every person who is unsaved is under the wrath of God. I want you to go back to the Gospel of John for one moment and to turn to chapter 3. Very familiar passage to most of us. I want you to look at two verses. John 3:18 first. He who believes in him is not judged. Who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If that's all we had, we might conclude that a person is condemned when they reject Christ. But that's not true. A person is already condemned. When they reject Christ, they remain in that state. Look, if people are lost because they reject Christ, I would tell the Jules and all the other missionaries, come home. People are fine until you tell them the gospel, then when they reject it, they're lost. Leave them alone. They're already lost. You can't do any harm. Give them the gospel. Because look at verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe will not see life, but the wrath of God, what? Remains, abides, stays right where it's always been. That Greek word has the idea of remains right where it was. He's under the wrath of God. Every unbeliever is under God's wrath because they have done what? Sinned. Chapter 1, 2, and 3. That's where I was. I was at enmity with God. I did not believe in him. I did not obey his word. Did not read his word at all. And then one day, at 21, I got saved. Life changed dramatically. Declared righteous. Just like that. When it all came together. Now, it was a process there. God used people, circumstances. But I'm not sure all of us know exactly when that moment took place. I have an idea when it took place, an idea, but the exact moment I don't know. Because it all came together in my heart and mind. And I believed it, and so did you. So we are justified by faith. We have peace with God. The world out there, they're God's enemy. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because this is something is very common, but we don't think about. Verse 6, the mindset on flesh, the unbeliever, is death. The mindset on the spirit, saved person, is life and peace. The mind set on flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not able to do so. And those who are in flesh cannot please God. Hostile toward God. Everyone out there. They have their, now people say, oh, I feel like I'm at peace with God. I do this, I do that. They really believe it. See, the feelings aren't the issue. This is not talking about how you feel. Lots of people, because they're religious, feel that they're at peace with God. But if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is deity, the triune Godhead, came to the earth in flesh, virgin conception, died on a cross, resurrected the third day for our sins, they're not saved. How they feel doesn't matter. Their feelings have nothing to do with reality. There's all kinds of religions out there, even some in the name of Christ, trying to earn our way to heaven. It's not going to happen. So Paul is saying to an audience, Jewish audience, Romans, Galatians, who work for salvation. It's not by works. It's by grace through faith. So let's invent a brand of Christianity where I work my way to heaven. Brilliant. What's the point? Doesn't work. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 53. In fact, look at Isaiah 59 first, and then we'll flip back. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, back to Isaiah chapter 59. If you can just listen, if you struggle finding those things, because there's a lot of Old Testament back here to wade through. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Listen to what the prophet says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear dull that it cannot hear. But, notice verse 2, Israel, your iniquities, your sins, have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Your sins have separated you from God, and he's not listening to you. He doesn't hear your prayers. Isaiah 53, you know this passage. It's predicting the death of Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 5. This deals obviously with Christ. In verse 5, he was pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Now notice this next phrase, the chastening for our well-being, the chastening for our peace, is how it could be translated, fell upon him. What gives you peace with God is the fact that Christ paid the price that separates you from God. Death. Spiritual death. It's done. Paid for. Can't extract it twice. He's a just God. He can't ask for you to pay for it if Christ paid for it and you made the only qualification necessary, faith in Christ. So as we sit here this morning, we are at peace with God. Nobody can take that from you. You can't improve on it. In the eyes of God, you are declared righteous. Unbelievable, isn't it, when you think about that? The world, three chapters, condemned, every one of them, the pagan, the moralist, the Jew. But now, having been saved by grace through faith, chapter 5, we have, having been justified, we have peace with God. We need to adjust our thinking with the scriptures. Don't worry about how you feel. Feelings is not the issue. Okay, so we need to keep that in perspective. Our relationship with God has been repaired, paid for all of our sins. No longer plagued by questions of what's my relationship with God like. Oh, I messed up. I did this wrong. I committed a sin. We all do. Hopefully, not all the time, but it does happen. It can be a thought. Just like that. I messed up. My relationship with God is still intact. It's not a problem. I mean, we don't want to sin, obviously. But the bottom line is, Christ paid for those sins. We don't want to continue in sin. That's going to come up in Romans as well. But the bottom line is, we are saved. Now, chapter 5, let's keep going through this passage here. Having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. Through whom? One person, through our Lord Jesus Christ, no one else. Through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand, we exalt in hope of the glory of God. We stand in this grace. We are in a relationship with God that's not going to go away. It's not based on what we do. There's only one thing you have to do. You've already done it. And what is that? Believe. Faith is not a work. I'm not earning something by whipping up my faith. It's I've come to realize mentally, heart, and mind that this is what God did for me. By believing in that, the faith is not a work. The faith is in the proper object. It's in Christ who did all the work. It's not my faith which saves me. I'm saved by the grace of God through the means of faith. My faith in Christ. It's Christ that saves. All right? So it's nothing we do. We believe. We stand in the grace of God. I stand in front of you, still capable of sinning, but I'm in God's grace because I believe in His Son. Died for all my sins. I'm His. Same for you. You are His property. You're His child. All right? We stand in God's grace. We can, by the way, you can pray. Do you think God hears the prayers of other people who are unsaved? No. What did He say to Israel in Isaiah 59? Your sins have made a separation between you and your God. See, you can't just walk into the presence of a whole... Look, can you walk into the presence of a king, Middle Eastern country, the time of Christ? Walk into the presence of a king anytime you want and make a demand. What would happen to you? Phew. Gone. You wouldn't get into the door. You think you could walk into the presence of God anytime you want with all your sin and make demands and requests? No. He's holy. There's a separation between the unbeliever and God. The reason you can enter into God's presence is why? The relationship has been repaired. You're His child. You have access. He's your heavenly Father. You're His child. He purchased you. He loves you. You are His. In fact, He commands us to pray. Now get this. We have access to a holy God, creator of the universe, and we don't even take advantage of it. There's one to think about. We need to pray, don't we? So we stand in this relationship. And I know, because of declared righteous, that God not only will listen, but can answer. If I pray in the name of Christ, according to His will. Some of these things need to be talked about. Some people in the name of Christ think if we could just muster up enough faith, we could have anything we want. That's not in that book. It's not out in the Bible. It's out of the imagination of some people in pulpits that don't know what they're doing. You see, when you pray in the name of Christ, what I'm saying is, here's my prayer list. Here it is. Lord, here's my list. I'm asking these things in Your name. I believe these are for Your best interest. And that's why I'm asking for them. Not... If I ask anything for my best interest, there's no guarantee I'm going to get it. If you ask anything for my in my name, we send an ambassador to another country. The ambassador is not free to make promises to that government unless it's cleared by the White House, correct? By Congress, by the White House. He can only do what he has permission to do in that country. He's an ambassador. He's not the president or the king. He speaks for the country, but his speech is guarded by the government. When I pray in the name of Christ, I'm saying, I believe, having read Your word, that these are in Your best interest. And that's why I can ask for them. And if you pray in my name, according to my will, desires, spelled in the word, you'll get it. So we pray, Ephesians, Paul's prayer, that we want a church that's filled with people who are going to grow spiritually, and we want and we work toward that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You need to understand, when you have a godly person praying, a group of godly people, you don't get in the way. God can do anything he pleases, whenever he pleases, and he does things for his best interest. And so we have access to God. What we have to understand is, Lord, what would you have us pray for? The next section is going to be a little scary for all of us. Okay, but we'll get there in a moment. But we have access to God. We stand in a relationship. Again. Now notice verse 3. You ready for this one? Not only this, we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance. Lord, could we just skip this one? I don't think so. This is the most important, I think, for us. We are to have joy, pardon me, joy in times of tribulation. This is a very interesting term. This is not inconveniences. This is not a flat tire. This is major stuff. This is the announcement you just got cancer. This is the announcement that whatever it might be, major, you know, big stuff. Your house just burned down or whatever it might be. Joy in tribulations. The reason I want someone else to preach this, I'm not sure I handle this well. Okay, this is not my department. I want to have somebody else come up and handle this one. This is you, Jim. Right? Living illustration. I've had illnesses, but they were short in duration. This is the person who's got issues that are long term. Some of them that we have are not visible, are they? Some are family related or whatever it might be. All kinds of stuff that goes on in our life. Family stuff, whatever it might be. Trials and tribulations. God must not love me because I'm going through a tough time. Hello, it's just the opposite. When I was in seminary, this is a tough one, I got a scholarship, as I told you, for 8 years of seminary, for two different seminaries. Could pick the school I wanted to go to. Which means my wife had finished her degrees and she was working, so I have it pretty easy financially for a student. We actually rented somebody's summer home on a lake. Tough life. You know, this was my home for 3 years. So I've got it pretty nice. And we decided that I would work less during the year and do well at school. But I'm in a classroom with a lot of other men my age. The guy next to me has 3 kids. And I remember one day, another man in the room, came to school on Tuesday morning. I'll never forget it, even though it's been many, many years ago. He said, I just sent my kids to school with all the food in the house in their lunch bags. I get paid Friday, it's Tuesday. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's sitting in class. He goes home and there's groceries on his doorstep. This is where it came from. The other guy got drafted by the army right out of the classroom. And I said, what? God, what are you doing? I said, why am I having it so easy and these guys have it so tough? And I knew why. Because I couldn't do it. I didn't have the stuff to do what they went through. But I said, you know what? He's going to go in the army. He's going to come back in 3 years with all kinds of government help. And he did. And I was still there when he came back. And God used that. But tribulations, that was a tough time for him. And I watched this in lives of Christians all over the country, all the time. You know what I can't stand? Is these guys on TV and these pastors and preachers preaching health and wealth. That, you know, boy, God, if you just have enough faith, God will give you health and wealth. That's not in that verse, is it? We read in the same Bible. You know where they're going? They're going to the Old Testament for it. Because God promised Israel that if you as a nation obey me in front of the other nations, wealth will be one way they will know that I am the God of creation. But we're not Israel, and those promises aren't to you. That's when they're in the land, obedient to the word in a theocratic commonwealth. It's out of context. Somebody's had the guts to tell you, if you preach what people want to hear, thousands will come out. You can have a big crowd. But you're lying to them. You're a false teacher. You're giving promises that are not in the Bible. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I know how to get a crowd. Seminaries are telling guys how to get crowds. You can run and have your ears tickled and hear all kinds of good things. But they'll never preach on Romans 5. I'll tell you that right now. You're not going to hear about tribulations in your life. But why does God do this to us? Notice. Now again, he doesn't give you more than he can handle, does he? So I know he is more patient than I am. This guy right here is a lot more patient than I am. I don't know what I would have done. But I'm praying God will heal him. But that's up to God, isn't it? But whatever happens, Jim's going to serve God till the end, I hope. In whatever condition we're in, we're going to serve Christ. And some of you have all kinds of issues. We need to pray that they'll go away, that God will help you. But the bottom line is you don't quit serving God. Look what it says. We exalt in our tribulations. We rejoice is what that means in our tribulations. Lord, this gives me an opportunity to minister to people I would never meet otherwise. How many nurses and doctors have you met, hospital people, personnel, because of what you're going through? All of us. Your tribulation takes you out of your comfort zone into the world where other people live that you need to hear the gospel. So if you think it's always going to be easy, it isn't. But knowing tribulation brings what? Perseverance. That could be better translated, I think, endurance. God takes you through tough times and you come out a little stronger each time. Each time, a little tougher, a little stronger. And by the way, a little more confident in your God. Remember the announcement I had cancer? That all life is over. I'm going to die, okay? So I go tell my wife, doctor says I have cancer. Well, we got that cared for, I'm still here. Had a heart attack, the widow baker should have killed me. Well, God didn't take me home. I had doctors, you had an hour left to be stupid, Schlegel. You didn't get here in another hour, you were dead. But you know what? Got there. God took care of that. And other things. But each time, my priorities changed. Those possessions, those toys, those things you work so hard for, they mean nothing. It's what you do for Jesus Christ that matters. It's growing your relationship with Christ. You're taking nothing with you except what you do for Christ. Nothing. Endurance produces strength of character. God's making you. He's building your character. He's making you more godly. Health and wealth makes you fat and lazy. And what happens is, God works for me. If I can muster this faith and believe big dreams, he's obligated to work for me. That's not in the Bible. That's exactly what they're telling you. The Bible says you're purchased. And he's going to place you wherever he wants. You think the jewels signed up for what they're going through? I don't think so. You, Bill? I don't think so. But you know what? You're going to see some people up here with some character. They're getting tougher, aren't they? They also know that, hey, bullets going through my wall every day and I haven't got hit yet. Must be God out there somewhere taking care of us. And if he does get hit, he's serving Christ. His life matters. So God is going to bring into your life some tribulation if you're born again. Only what you can handle. So I watch guys handle it. And then hope. Verse 5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Spirit who has been given to us. The Spirit of God has been given to you. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God from Romans chapter 6. The Spirit of God who indwells you. He's taken up residence within your life. Ephesians says he has sealed you. He is the seal. When God looks at you, a seal could be a number of things, but a ring or a cylinder. When a document was made in the Middle East, they would mark it with a ring. And it was the seal that the contents of that envelope is the real article. The Spirit of God is your seal until the day of redemption in Ephesians 4:30 and 1:13. That means when God looks at you, what does he see? The Spirit's in you. And he's the seal that tells the Father, you're the real deal. And it's not leaving until you die. Father chose you, the Son died for you, and the Spirit seals you. You are standing in the grace of God. You are at peace with God, and nothing and no one can take that from you. And it doesn't matter what happens in this life, because in the end, I'm going to heaven. We joke about it. Sometimes my wife and I joke about this a lot. Yeah, kill me. I'll be in heaven. Hello? Or I get to stay here and suffer with you. Do you really believe you're going to be in heaven? No, I'm not saying run out and kill yourself. That's not what I'm advocating. No suicides, please. But the bottom line is, that's my future. I'm hitting 70. In case you didn't know that, shouldn't have told you that one, but we are. We're coming up on that. You know, what have I got? How many more years? I don't know how many more years I have. Weeks, months, days, years. Who cares? We're going to serve Christ, and when it's over, I will be in heaven. You don't need to mourn. Just nothing to mourn about. I'll be with God, and so will you. Now, text says, we sorrow as those, do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We sorrow for the ones we love because we're lonely. We're left. We're stuck. We're here with the tribulation. They're in heaven with God. You know, sorrow for yourself. Well, you're not for the person, the believer who's gone, but you miss them. I realize that. But you don't sorrow like the world. So this whole attitude, we need to think about what it means to be in Christ. We are pilgrims passing through. Our home is heaven. We are now just visitors, pilgrims passing through. Location doesn't matter. So we have endurance. Verse 5. Genuine hope in God is what it produces. I learned to be dependent on God. When I had cancer, I was never so dependent in my life. I was alone all day at home recovering. My wife worked and I could pray. And I remember those days. And you think and you think and you think. And that's a time you're set apart. And that was probably one of the highest times of my life spiritually. Seriously. You think it'd be the lowest, but it wasn't. My wife and I probably never heard that before either, but that's the bottom line. Could study and pray. And understand, get my priorities right. So, Christ said, if they persecute me, they will do what? Give you health and wealth? No. God will always have wealthy people. Because if he gives some of you the gift of giving, it means you have to have something to give. There's always going to be some wealthy people. There's always going to be some poor people. We come from all walks of life, and no one is any more important than the other. We all have a contribution to make to the body of Christ. And he loves us, and he uses us in various ways. And so we need to keep that in perspective. God will flood our hearts with his love. 6-8. While we were still helpless, at the right time means appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. While you were in sin, see, God didn't say, I want to send my son for the people who love me. No. While you were ungodly, while you were in sin, alienated from God, sinful, evil, Christ died for you then. Love of God, the word for love, this particular 6 words for love in Greek, 3 in the New Testament. This one is a love which is self-sacrificing. Agape love means you put the best interest of the other person first. Love God. How do you fall in love with an invisible God? That's not what it means. It means if I know God, I believe he's there, I do what's best for him. It's the same word that's Deuteronomy 6, the Old Testament, translated in New Testament, agape love. Love God, love neighbor. Doesn't mean I fall in love with all my neighbors. It means I do what's best for them. Always put them first. Bad news, fathers. Husbands, do what? Love your wives. It's the same word. It's not emotional love. That's not the emphasis. It's putting her first. Tell my students, when we meet a couple in a pastoral situation that's in trouble, first thing I do is look at the husband. Now, he's not always the problem, only 99% of the time. It's a terrible thing to say. True, however. No. Maybe not quite that high. My wife's not submissive to me. Most women who have a loving husband who always does what's best for them has no problem being submissive. Demanding my wife be submissive and not doing what's best for her is not going to cut it. My wife is not a camper. So I come home and say, honey, our one vacation this year, I bought a pop-up. And we're going to go fishing and hunting. And you get to sit, kill mosquitoes, and cook. We will have a great time. How do you spell divorce? All right? Not a good move. Doing what's best for the other person. In that chapter, by the way, husbands love your wives, wives be submissive, masters, slaves, parents, children. The one who has the position of responsibility and authority is always mentioned first. They control the situation. Parents, do not exasperate, frustrate your children. Some well-meaning Christians drive their kids crazy and wonder why 20 years later they're in jail. Or, that was an extreme case. Why they don't call you on Father's Day might be an easier one. There's a way to do things. Love. Love. And so, as we look at this passage, Christ demonstrated love while we were in sin, still committing sins. At the appointed time by the Father, he died for the ungodly, not for righteous people, for sinners. One would hardly die for a righteous man. That might happen. Probably not. Perhaps for a good man, someone dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having been justified by his blood, we should be saved from the wrath of God through him. The wrath of God is in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. It's the great white throne judgment. It's the future wrath when everyone is judged according to their deeds. Every unbeliever, I want you to turn to Revelation 20, if you will. But this will end today. Didn't get through the whole chapter, but we most of it. At the end of Revelation, this is the final judgment for unbelievers. And so a great white throne, and who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged from things written in the books, plural, according to their deeds. So God is recording in his computer in heaven every thought, every motive, every action of every person. And if you're not in Christ, they will all be brought to light. The sea gave up the dead which were in them. Death and Hades, or hell, temporary place for unbelievers, gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged, everyone according to their deeds. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone's name not found written in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire. Paul says, having been justified, we now have peace with God. Having been justified, we shall do what? Escape the wrath to come. We will not be judged for our sins. It's already been paid for by Christ. Debt canceled. Done. Over. So this morning, you need to walk out of here understanding you're at peace with God. There's no future judgment for you. It doesn't. That's why the Jews ask, well, should I just continue to sin? Because it's free. You don't love God very much if you do that. You're not getting the point. That's another chapter coming up. But we are also, Romans 6, equipped to serve. We have all the power we need. So we're to pray together. Father, we're thankful again for the text of Scripture, Father, for the objective propositional truth that gives us clear direction of your mind and your will. Thank you that we have peace with God and we have no fear for the wrath to come. Not because of anything we have done, for Lord, we have sinned. We are guilty. But we have someone who stepped in and paid our price in full. We thank you for your character, your love, your grace, and mercy. And may we continue to glorify you and live for you in such a way that the community in which we live will see the love of God through the person of Jesus Christ and our transformed lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
You've been listening to our interim pastor, Professor Joe Schlegel of Baptist Bible College, on the High Point Baptist Church Sermoncast, and we pray you have been blessed by what you've heard. If you have any questions about the gospel of our Lord, or if you would like to speak with someone concerning a decision you've made for Jesus Christ, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. We are so grateful that God would grant us the opportunity to minister to you. Contact information can be found on our website. If you have any additional questions or comments regarding this sermon, would like to know more about our church, or would like to make a prayer request, just visit us online at highpointchurch.info. Additional sermons can be found on the Sermoncast page of our website and may be downloaded or streamed free of charge. Our website again is highpointchurch.info. Thank you again for listening. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Copyright 2013, High Point Baptist Church, all rights reserved.